Summer's almost here, and Old Navy's got thousands of summer's hottest styles on sale now in stores from just $5. Get all your favorites, like tees and tanks for just $5, shorts for just $10, and jeans and dresses and swimwear for just $15. Can't wait to wear it? Buy online and pick up in-store for free today. New summer styles are just $5, $10, and $15 in stores now at Old Navy. Valid 5/13 to 5/19 in stores and select styles only.
Welcome back, everyone. This is episode 53, and I'm joined, as always, with Smiling Ryan over here.
Hi, everyone. Happy to be back.
The technology. And, of course, it's our honor to have on the show Jordan Prenti.
Thanks for having me, guys.
No problem, man. Thank you so much for coming on and affording time, especially with the Eagles playing so soon.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's a crazy day. It really
is
busy.
It is, man. Like, it's funny because, you know, I'm driving from Philly. And there's literally zero traffic. Like, I got
zero
here
traffic.
Almost 20 minutes. But, bro, getting there.
Everyone is cooped up ready to go.
It's funny because me and Andrew hung out last night, and I was actually walking around the city last night, and I noticed that there was literally no one outside. Yeah. No one was out of bars. No one was getting ice cream. No one was going out to eat. Literally a ghost town.
I feel like people get really superstitious.
Yeah, are they hibernating?
They're preparing the same way that the players have to prepare for the
but
game.
What,
stay
what, is
stay
like
home
a
and
full
mentally.
Statue with just like a big you know what hanging down. I don't know what's going on. Where are these people at?
You would know better than me, man.
Dude, I've been an Eagles fan all my life. You know, it's a huge thing in my family. But I mean, we don't have rituals like that. We game time, you know, that's when we really start getting the food and everyone sits around and watches together. But you know, I don't hibernate.
Gotcha. This Bears game though is like the decider, right?
This is major.
Bears hibernate.
Gotta win.
Yeah, it was must win. They're a good team, probably the best defensive team in the NFL right now.
Yep.
Are you familiar with
football? Yeah.
Khalil Mack, man, what a fucking animal.
Crazy.
Yeah, Andrew, if you have time, you should really look up Khalil Mack highlights because he's arguably one of the hungriest linemen in the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah.
Literally just pushes grown men around. Like, I'm talking like 300, 400 pound men. He fucking stiff arms and gets to the quarterback in like under 3 seconds.
Yeah, if we can penetrate the defense, then we'll be good. But
you think so?
That's our biggest challenge.
I mean, Nick Foles has been shown, he's been proven to be great in playoffs, just great in this time of year.
Yeah.
And Trubisky, while he's doing better, that's their quarterback. If Trubisky is doing better, I mean, their whole team is doing better as a whole, but quarterback to quarterback, I think we have the better quarterback.
Okay, sweet. Yeah, I mean, I'm not really a football fan. I've said it before on the show. I appreciate greatness, so I'll definitely look up those highlights because I like seeing people
do
great at what they do.
If anything, you appreciate Philadelphia and anything that boosts up our esteem and our camaraderie and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, man, I'm for it, you know?
Right.
But
you're here for the celebration.
Yeah, exactly. I always look at the favors, though. I look at the odds. I look at who.
Are you a betting man?
I'm not a betting man, but I like to see like how people calculate outcomes, and I see a lot of anti-Eagle outcomes today.
That fuels us, though.
Yeah, right, that does fuel it. I was about to say that.
Yeah. They said the same thing last year.
I was about to say that.
You know, and while we have a lot of injuries, while we're not the same team we were last year, I really think that the fact that we made it in the playoffs really gives us a fighting chance. Because no one wanted us in there.
And speaking of injuries, who was it?
Last night?
Yeah.
Alan Hearns.
And what team is he on?
He's on the Cowboys.
I heard, because I was in a group chat with my friends, and I hear people saying, like, yo, I almost threw up. And I was like, what? And I started looking through, and they said, like, his foot snapped in half.
Was
I
it an open it. Fracture? Like, could they see the bone?
It was something crazy. Did
no,
you see it?
I heard about it, but I couldn't watch it because that stuff, I'd pass out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're squeamish for that kind of stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he works in a medical field, so, like, it's probably.
And it's funny.
It's just, like,
kind blood of I'm fine with, like, like it's bones, like
yeah, but it was open bone. Do you know?
I don't know.
I feel like we're making Jordan uncomfortable talking about
sorry,
this.
Sorry,
thanks for having me, guys.
A little bit.
Just forcing him to imagine this is making him sick.
I mean, that always is a shame. I mean, it happened. I mean, that sort of injury. I mean, it's always gruesome to see on TV. I remember the last time was probably that Louisville player.
Yeah.
Literally, Andrew, if you never saw his video, there was a Louisville player basketball. He went for a jump. He came down. His foot just like. Snapped.
Yeah, bro.
it was like I personally
that either,
at that
man.
Time
I'm not with that either.
I had to turn it off. I couldn't handle it.
I can watch it in a movie.
Uh-huh.
I can't watch it in real life.
But why?
And I'm bothered.
Can you watch it in a movie?
Yeah. I will still like cringe
Me
if
too.
I'm watching it in a movie, but yeah. If I know that it's a real thing and I'm
it bothers me how easily destructible I am. As a human being, like how easily I can be disfigured. No,
right.
I've only fractured my toe.
Sound pretty strong to me.
But no, dude, like I had what's that infection called where your finger swells up? A cuticle infection. It was crazy, right? I had a cuticle infection.
Wow,
you speaking from experience, okay.
bro. This is the weirdest thing ever, right? Uh-huh. So I had a cuticle infection, and I edit for a living. I edit television, right. And I was on the keyboard editing, and literally every time I was hitting a key. My finger hurt. Like, that's how bad it was. Dude, it looked like Shrek's finger. It was swole up. It was a whole nother color, right? So my producer was like, yeah, you should probably go to a clinic. So it was the day that snowed, right?
Talking about just like a walk-in, walk-out clinic?
Yeah. And this was like a few months ago, like when it snowed like for a little bit. And I was like, oh, wow, of all days. So I'm dragging my bike through the snow. I get into the clinic. I tell them what's wrong. They look at my finger and they're like, oh, you have a cuticle infection. I'm like, yeah. They said, you're the 8th person to come in today with this.
What?
And I was like, huh? And
is it like, that common?
Or, I don't know. Apparently,
I've
on
never
that
day,
they weren't exaggerating
you just,
either.
You just heard that you said it was shit.
What?
You just heard that and you're like, fuck. Like,
I was a little like, yeah, like, is this okay? Now there's like, is this like an epidemic?
Yeah, apparently. Why they like, can you wait in this room and there's like 7 other people find out they're quarantining you?
This is the part that got me though. Did I tell you about this?
No, dude.
So my finger is super swelled up and I was like, what are they going to do? Like, give me some antibiotics and like the inflammation goes down. The nurse comes in.
Like, no, we got to give you a suppository.
She looks at
me. Why? The doctor said so.
Trust
doctor's orders. And
me.
I'll make the rules.
I don't even know where I was.
Sorry. Go ahead.
It's all good.
You got treatment, right?
Yeah, you know me. I get jumpy when I go to like any sort of like medical professional.
Really?
I
didn't know that.
You know me though. Like I just I don't like being in too close proximity to, I guess,
like needles and stuff.
Yeah, any sort of like unwelcome bodily harm. So. Right. What happened was they were looking at my finger and they're like, yeah, we're gonna have to cut it. And I was like, what? And like, yeah, we have to make it. Like,
wait, they just said like we're gonna have to cut the whole finger?
No, just cut it. And I'm like, whoa, what do you mean? Okay. Right? And they're just like, yeah, we're gonna have to make like an incision like at the top of your nail and just drain this whole thing out.
Okay. Oh, it's almost like you ever see that pimple YouTube video?
Yeah.
It was like
Dr. Pimple Popper.
Yeah.
You guys both said at the same time it's that common.
Oh my god.
Yes.
Yeah. It's
this
woman
has millions
it's
of
like,
subscribers.
Let me look this woman.
No,
up.
Bro,
I am one of them.
You're a pimple popper or a pimple supporter?
No.
How are
pimple,
you squeamish
but
you can
supporter.
Watch that?
I don't know. Here's the thing. I don't know what it is. There's just some satisfaction of like this. And I actually this is I'm not going to like stay too long on this topic
because
but like the more like grotesque ones that are like a lot of like fluid or pus or whatever. Like I can't watch those. It's more of just like
I thought you were about to say like it gets you off or something.
No. Just like
you're just like
no. Just like a good old blackhead. There's a lot of satisfaction.
That is satisfying.
Yeah.
That is super satisfying.
Yeah.
Just to get like to watch it like just you put a little pressure on and it. It goes up. The whole black
and then
piece
clean,
just disappears.
And
yeah. And you just, got the face of an angel.
Yeah.
I guess, but maybe just like in the intimacy, privacy of just a moment with yourself.
I mean,
not
it's
like
just
TV
me, right?
Yeah, for
just,
millions and millions. Yeah.
Right, man.
It's just Jordan.
Yeah, it's
but
just me.
I guess what happened was they're like, we're going to have to cut it. And they're like, do you want to watch? And I was like, no. I said, I can't look.
Why?
Like,
why would you want
to
watch?
I have to look away.
Right,
like, I literally was like, just do it. Like, I can't. And so they're just like, cutting me, and they're like, "Oh wow!" And they're saying like all this crazy stuff, and I was like, "Dude, just
and yeah, that's like, never
the,
good."
The bandage they put on me was like three like just wraps around. They're like, "Yeah, just make sure like you keep it dry." It was crazy, wow. But like yeah. That's why like some people, you know, they have no problem with that. Like the lady that cut my finger was just like, "Oh, okay." Like me, I was like, "Bleh." Like well, I just couldn't look, dude. I looked at the wall the whole time. I felt so dumb. Yeah. I just had my finger this way and my head that way.
That's something that a patient never wants to hear in a doctor's office, in an ER, in a hospital in general. It's like, "Oh, wow." Like you know, like you're being treated and right, they're just like you like they're you, that
you're
medical
surprised by what you're seeing.
Drops. Yeah, like, oh, I didn't expect
but
this.
She's definitely like a younger like I don't know, nurse great. Assistant
probably.
Yeah.
But
when she said that I was
matter,
like
though.
I was like,
"What
is this
when
amusing
you're sitting
to
there.
You?"
Yeah, exactly. Do I amuse you?
It was just weird, man. I don't know how we went down that spiral, but we were talking about injuries and stuff.
We were just talking about Bears and Eagles and shit, and then somehow I went to pimple popping.
Yeah, we're talking about Philadelphia in general and the spirit of it, especially with the Eagles. And speaking of Philadelphia, obviously, you're somebody who is an illustrator. Is that primarily something that you've always done your whole life? Like, what is the connection with drawing?
So drawing is something that I've done my whole life, but never for any purpose. It was just, I was always the one that went as a kid, like hours down my basement, just piles and piles of paper drawing. And my mom, she used to work from home and she would be down the basement. She had like a little office set up down there when I was younger. And as long as she was working, I was down there drawing. So my whole life, like I'm known as like the doodler, like in college and even at work, like when I'm taking notes in a meeting, like my whole paper, like whatever I'm writing on is mostly drawings and like, oh, some notes that, cause that sounded important. So I feel like I always was, but there was never like anything for me to do with it. Cause I was like, oh, I'm in business. Like this is kind of what I'm doing. And then this whole drawing thing that I love to do was always just like the side. This is just something
well,
that
I
happens.
Mean, what
throughout.
Sort of things were you drawing growing up?
It really is just like whatever was on my mind. So sometimes I'm looking out the window and I'm like, all right, let me just draw what I see. Sometimes I have this crazy, like, you know, like scene from a movie in my head and I start drawing like a character from the movie or like what it really was just, there was never like this certain kind of niche that I was.
So it was like a combination of drawing things on the fly that popped up in your head and also just tracing, not tracing, but you know, like drawing things on TV and still pictures and that kind
exactly,
of stuff.
Yeah.
And there was really, there was no theme to it.
There was never a theme to it. Yeah. Okay. It was always just wherever my mind was, that's what was coming out on the paper.
And you didn't primarily focus on that.
No,
you
not
at school or anything.
Not at all. About. Yeah. It was always just, for me, like in my mind, I think that when I went to college, I studied international business and like, I knew that I wanted to, like travel is my big thing. I love traveling. So I knew I wanted to do that. And I was like, how can I do that as a living? So I was like, oh, I could do this international business path. And, you know, that's kind of what I followed. And nowhere along that trajectory did I ever see anything that has to do with illustration or art. So I was like, all right, well, I guess I'll just keep doodling for the rest of my life. And,
really?
You know, it was never like I never studied it. I never did anything within college or it always just like this thing that people would look over at me and like take notes and be like, oh, you're a pretty good drawer. Oh,
yeah.
I'm like,
sound
one of those eyebrow raising things. Well,
yeah.
They always do that.
Yeah.
You sound like it made you a little disappointed that you couldn't make a career out of it at the time.
Yeah. I don't know if I would say like drawing in general, but I always felt like I was a creative person. And if you've heard the question, like sometimes, oh, if you weren't doing this, like what would your other job be? What would you want to do? I never know the answer to it. As a really young kid, I wanted to be like a Pixar animator and, you know, that just something more creative that I'm not doing right now, somewhere where I can, you know, put that energy into and, you know, is what my answer always was. And I don't know what that looks like. This new thing that I'm working on now with these house drawings that I'm doing is kind of like, oh, this is finally like that thing that is giving me a reason to draw, like giving me a reason to illustrate or paint or whatever it is kind of finally happening 27 years later.
What Pixar movie really caught you?
So my favorite movie was Toy Story until I was like way older than most people that were watching Toy Story.
I don't know about that because I still watch Toy Story.
Toy Story is an incredible movie. Pixar movies in general, like as soon as one comes out, I'm like, all right, I gotta go see it. Like I've gone to see Pixar movies by myself in the theater because I couldn't get anybody else to come with me.
It's understandable.
Yeah.
Pixar movies are always nice because they have that nice little short before the movie actually starts, so it's almost like you get two
exactly.
forms of entertainment in one.
Yeah. And they're almost just as good as the future
are.
Film.
I mean,
yeah.
I remember going to see Incredibles 2, and they had the one about, what was it, a wonton?
Yeah.
That was like, they personified it into a little kid, and like this like old woman raised it.
That's
Valbuzz.
Yeah. It was good. For those of you who haven't seen it, you should definitely look it up on YouTube or something.
Yeah.
That was an interesting one.
Yeah.
Pixar movies, I think they're so great just because they capitalize on emotion, and they do it in a very nonverbal way.
Yeah.
Right, where emotion is conveyed through visuals. And that whole thing with I think art in general is show, don't tell, right? And I think that's why those movies are so successful.
Exactly.
I'm thinking of one particular part in Up. When they have the miscarriage and
that whole opening scene, there's no dialogue.
But like that one in particular caught me of just like they're in the hospital and she's crying on his shoulder and like, you know, it's like you didn't have to, they didn't have to say a word and everyone knew what was up.
It's interesting because you're trained to usually cry at the conclusion of movies, but that's a very rare instance where you're crying in the beginning. Well, yeah, because you know, it, with climax in any sort of writing.
Like any story structure you're talking about?
The writer is stringing you along until you get to this big plateau of the rising action brings you to this plateau, and it's like, wow, that's when the emotion's supposed to hit you.
And they're trying to build the connection with the characters. Of course, they're trying to make you have that emotional connection.
Right, and then you have zero connection with these characters, but you understand so soundly on a human level the emotions that are involved with what's going on in those scenes that it strikes you right at the beginning. And then it's just they have you from there because you can't look away. They've already made you react emotionally. So that movie is fantastic. Yeah. It's the same thing with Finding Nemo. You know, when the
I mean, we could go on about Pixar.
we could.
every single one is a fantastic.
But I have to say, I draw as well, and animation was definitely the key to that box. And it just is. There's something about it that... In the West, it's definitely designed for children, and it captures their imaginations. Animation, I'd say maybe globally, we would talk about anime a lot on the show. That's kind of more for adults. Yeah. But that was a big inspiration for me too, man. So my next question to you is, if you pursued this trajectory in life, international business, which is awesome.
Yeah.
I see you travel a lot, and we're going to talk about that too. Yeah. What was the push to say, you know what, I'm going to make a business? Was it a New Year's resolution? Was it talking to somebody? What was going on?
Yeah, so I always in the back of my mind was, okay, because I have this business degree, I feel like a goal for a lot of people is, all right, eventually I don't want a boss. Eventually I want to be my own boss. I don't want to have to report to somebody. And I have this great business degree. Someday I'm going to come up with something. I don't know what it's going to be. You know, this one kind of, it surprised me. I probably thought, if you asked me like a year ago, if you do start a business, when's it going to be? I probably would have been like, maybe like 3, 4, 5 years. Whenever I come up with like this really great idea. This one kind of came about. My sister and brother-in-law bought a house maybe a year and a half ago. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to buy them like a housewarming gift. I'm looking online for ideas and stuff. And I came across, you know, custom home portrait for house. And, you know, it was on Etsy, I think it was, where you can buy all these different crafts and artist work. So I'm like, all right, cool. This is actually a really cool idea. Look at the price. I'm like, I don't feel like I want to spend that much money on something. I feel like I might be able to do myself. So I'm like, all right, let me try it. I drove by their house, kind of creepily, rolled down the window, took a picture of their house, drove off. And I go home. I'm like, all right, I'm going to start trying to sketch this. And the first one, I was like, oh my God, this is horrible. Next one, I'm like, I have no idea how to make a house look real from, you know, it's just something that I never did before. Mm-hmm. After a few tries, I was like, all right, this looks okay. It was the first one I ever did. And looking back now, I'm like, oh my gosh, that wasn't very good. You know, but like it was the start of, all right, this is something that, you know, I gifted it to my brother-in-law and my sister and they loved it. It's such a cool keepsake. It's their first house together. It really kind of hits people with that emotional, that attachment, that keepsake kind of gift idea that I feel like people really appreciate.
Did you start making, I mean, I'm looking at his Instagram right now. It's at Home by Jordan, correct?
Right.
And I mean, he only does houses, which is not a bad thing, but it's interesting that you chose that. Did you choose that because of the gift that you provided for them? And then you're just like, oh, these houses, I can do this, you know.
Yeah.
I'm going to continue doing that.
So I do mostly houses because that's where the demand was. How the business kind of took off was I did it for my sister and brother-in-law. Somebody saw theirs and was like, oh, that's a really cool idea. Where'd you get it? Had another order. Oh, that's a really cool idea. Where'd you get it? Had another order. To the point where, you know, Christmas I had to cut off orders because I could not keep up. Like,
is this the house that you, your sister's house?
No, the very first one on the bottom on the bookshelf. Yeah, so it's the first picture I ever posted.
Oh, wow.
It's
got a nice frame too.
Yeah, yeah. So it really took off. I was not expecting it. I didn't think that this was, you know, ever gonna be something. Right now, you know, I don't want to. I'll just say, if I were to quit my 9-to-5 job and do this full time, I would actually be like totally okay. Just I don't know if that's
yeah. We don't want you want your employer to hear this.
No, they should hear. They should know. Yeah, no. But like it's cool that I'm in a position now where it's like I just thought that this might be like a fun thing, like once in a while, like drawing yeah. somebody's house. Now it's like totally sustaining itself, and if I had more time, I could grow it even more. So right now, it's just a matter of.
Have you grown to the point where you're not taking pictures and drawing houses? You're just going off of what you have in your head?
I've done it a couple times with like I gifted my parents for Christmas a portrait of their house. Very that cool. one I did off just knowing my house so well.
Of course.
There yeah. are so many details on the facade of a house that I do have to eventually look at a picture or see yeah. it in person or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's enough where like I know enough about like the architecture of the house or if I know it well.
It's funny you say that because when I first looked at your page, I thought you were an architect. I'm like, oh, nice. We got an architect on here.
I was going to say, yeah, there's a lot of sound architect understanding when you're drawing these. And for yeah. people that doodle, I feel like doodling is something that doesn't have a lot of structure.
Right.
Obviously, you adhere to a very strict set of rules when you're drawing a house. Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And there's a lot of interesting things that I had to kind of, you know, with no background in art or illustration or anything that, mm-hmm. you know, I didn't really know how to shade really well. Like everything that I did as a kid or growing up was just kind of like, oh, this looks normal. This looks cool. I had to like at certain points like construct miniature houses out of paper. Like I would fold them up into a box
and see how the light hit
and
them.
Yeah, get a flashlight yeah. and be like, all right, if the sun's because sometimes I'll get a picture and it's like it was a cloudy day. It doesn't really give it that depth if there's not mm-hmm. a lot of shadow. So I'll grab like a flashlight and be like, oh, this is where that angled roof right. shadow goes. If you know if the
it's
sun's over
late
here.
Afternoon, the light source is over exactly. here, so the shadows cast
yeah,
this way.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff that I kind of had to teach myself along the way, but. Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
No, it's just cool that, you know, things I didn't even think I would have to think about or learn mm-hmm. about, I'm having to apply to the drawings.
Yeah, Andrew actually got me into doodling a little bit. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm not anywhere near his level, but, yeah. you know, it's fun.
Yeah.
It's relaxing. You kind of take your mind yeah. off of everything. It's funny that you mentioned that you have to learn it on your own. Not that you have to, but mm-hmm. you did learn it on your own.
Right.
I picked up this book. I think it said it's called Drawing with the Right Side of Your Brain.
Okay.
I believe it's just a book that teaches you how to draw, basically. And its biggest argument or its biggest point that it tries to ring home to whoever reads it is that we're taught from like a academic standpoint to like take in information, like step one, step two, step three. And it has to be sequential like that, where they argue drawing is more like you feel it out. Yeah. You know, they use the analogy of like an old ship where you have like a compass and mm-hmm. like, you know, you're not necessarily, you have a map and you have a compass and you have to get to this place, but you don't have the direct line,
right.
but you just kind of feel it out. You look at the stars and
yep.
eventually you come to like the right line, the right curve,
yeah.
you know, it takes work.
Yeah, it's funny. I follow a few accounts on Instagram who do a similar, you know, they'll draw or paint or whatever, buildings or houses. And I remember this one guy who, his artwork, like I love what he does, and he did like a video tutorial. And it was after I had probably 20 orders, you know, so I kind of had my system how I go about doing it. And
what's
I watched him do
right
it.
Now?
I will get probably 4 to 7 orders a week.
Oh, wow.
So I have to kind of like set expectations. Like I can only turn around like 3 or 4 a week. You
Your
know?
Market is this city specifically.
Yeah. And I, okay. yeah, it's, I've done a few for houses in Florida. I've done a few for houses in
They know
San
you
Francisco.
In Florida already.
Yeah.
How'd they find you?
Instagram.
Yeah. Instagram.
That's it? Like just from hashtags?
From hashtags. Yeah. And then other people will just see like they got a gift and they thought it would be a good idea for somebody else. And then,
referral.
You know, so
that's
yeah.
the best type of advertising.
Yeah. I really incredible. Haven't done yeah. any advertising for myself yeah. at all yet.
And cool. I think this says something about your talent, you know, because people advertise all the time, but it doesn't mean their product is going to be consumed.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you don't even have any advertising, and here you're getting like 4 to 7 a week, man.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Back to what you're saying about the video tutorial, though. What was
yeah,
that
so point? I was just going to say, I'm watching this guy who I admire his work a lot, and I watched this video, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm doing it wrong. You know, like, because the way that he, mm-hmm. like, he sketched things differently, and then he added the pen and ink later, and it was just kind of like, I was just like, oh no, like I have to kind of like reteach myself. And I'm like, wait a minute, like I feel like some of my really good paintings are coming out like just as good as the stuff he's doing. And it kind of like made me realize like I just have my own, like I don't know if there is a right way or a wrong way to.
Was he digital?
No, he was using like pen, ink, and watercolor.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is what I do.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried digital?
Yeah, like I'll.
It doesn't have that warmth. You know?
It doesn't.
Really?
Yeah.
You're trying to sell the warmth.
Yeah.
That's
Can
what
I tell
you're
you?
Trying to
I,
sell.
I'm actually. I'm gonna pull up a picture. Sorry, this is.
What
visual,
makes you say that?
Go for it, dude. It's nice. That's why when you go to a museum, you don't look at Photoshop pictures. I mean, you look at paintings.
Yeah, but Photoshop's fairly new though.
It evokes a different emotion. Your eyes are sensitive, man. This machine that you have up here, dude, it picks up things that are so subtle. And to have a digital picture of your house is nothing like a painting.
Yeah. So I actually tried my. Because I'm just trying to think of a way that if I do want to grow this business right now, it's only me. Mm-hmm. It's like if I do hire somebody else to kind of pump these out faster, it's like...
Assistant artist? Or,
right, exactly. Okay. Like I'd have to find somebody that's kind of replicating this warmth that you're talking about that I'm doing right now.
Right.
And so I'm like, all right, well, what if I switch to digital? Like, can I pump these out faster if I do it? So the one of my parents' house that I did, I first tried it. Digitally, and it's just it feels so.
Yeah, that looks like a sitcom.
It
looks
does,
like a Family Guy. House.
And the Peter way Griffin's that I did it there. Is no different from you know I used.
Wait, can I see that again?
Yeah, I used oh first. I used the pencil
it's
tool,
bad,
and then I used
though.
the pen tool, and then I added the watercolor. But it just feels so cold and
yeah. I see what
lifeless.
You're saying. It
yeah,
doesn't, it doesn't have the same effect.
There's more of a presentation to it, like you know, this is a house we're gonna sell.
Right.
There's not really like a history behind it, which
exactly.
is what you get with a painting.
Exactly.
This
history.
Isn't bad though. Like I would still post this.
Of course
honestly.
Not. He's an amazing
artist.
Yeah. Yeah. It just doesn't have.
Yeah. It just doesn't have that same. So yeah, it's interesting. And you actually mentioned, you know, I do mostly houses. Something that I'm really having a lot of fun with, and something that I want to get into more is somebody commissioned me to do Liberty One Tower in Center City, Philadelphia.
What do you mean, like architectural, like make.
Like paint it. So it's on there actually.
Okay. Wait,
the skyscraper.
On my page.
Yeah, this one.
So I did that, and then somebody was like,
awesome.
I studied abroad in Rome. I want you to paint, you know, these buildings in the piazza in Rome that you know my apartment was really close
to. Is that what this is?
Yep, that's that one there. So that houses are really cool, and they do have that kind of like keepsake, you know, aspect of them. But to be able to paint something that people have like a little bit more of like a story behind or
totally.
An emotional connection behind beyond the house is something that Reading Terminal Market in Philly is
man,
another
Reading
one
Terminal.
I do.
He's got a terminal sketch.
And that's kind of
tasting
the stuff that I
now.
Do want to get into a little bit more because it's, you know, houses are fun, but
you're getting into like
four windows and a door is
restaurants.
You can only do it so many times.
Yeah, man,
like,
you could really expand this all the whole Philly area. I mean, I could see this hanging in Reading Terminal Market right now.
Yeah, maybe I should pitch them on it.
You should.
Yeah.
I don't know who you'd pitch it to, but you know, if you could find them.
Yeah.
Typically, and I know it varies a lot, how long does it take to complete a piece from beginning to end?
Yeah, so
and
I have...
Are you using rulers, or are you the kind of person that can kind of freehand straight lines?
So I will use a ruler to sketch out the pencil, like I first drafted in pencil, and then I'll go over it in ink. I use the ruler on the pencil.
Okay.
Let me ask you something.
Not to ask too much of your trade secrets, but
I mean, sorry, go ahead.
No, it's all good. And the amount of time for your pieces, like
about an hour and a half.
Really?
Yeah.
So, we're talking from
sketches. This right here took you an hour and a half.
An hour and a half.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
That's
Jesus
yeah.
Christ. Like
it
that would
take
if
a
I were to
over
try
2 hours.
If I were to even attempt that, not only would it not be nearly as good, it would take me like 10 hours.
Yeah.
At least.
The first few took me a while. They took me more than an hour and a half. But I've kind of gotten it down to
because you're feeling it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's super cool.
So it doesn't take up too much of your day just to do a few.
Right. But you know, I work until you know all day long. Sometimes I'll have like a function or an event after work that I go to, or I want to just go out with friends.
You,
and,
just
like,
you have a life.
Yeah,
obviously,
yeah. So but I have to kind of put that stuff aside sometimes just to knock these orders
out. But it's interesting because even you are allowed to have that. You're allowed to have your home life, your family life, your social life, your job, and like you can still find time to do this stuff.
Yeah,
like, it's not
hard
as long as you make time for it.
Right. And I am finding the time. It's just I'm afraid that if I do start, you know, advertising or I start promoting posts or something like that, you know, the orders are just going to come into a point where I'm just like,
it's a good problem to have.
It is. I just got to figure out what the right balance is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I just got commissioned for a boat too, so I don't know.
New
like
challenge.
What that. Yeah, it's a new challenge.
Is this a boat someone lives on?
Yeah. So it's like her dad's summer boat or something.
Oh, very
and
cool.
She's just like, yeah, he loves it. There's like a snowy cabin in somewhere in my feed, but that was for her dad too.
I see it right here. It's right in front of me.
Yeah, and she was like, oh, he was crying when he got it, and she was like,
wow,
so I want to do that again, and
You said this. You've only been doing this for a few months.
Yeah, probably about 6 months.
6 months, and he's already doing this shit. So I'm sorry. That was incredible.
Thank you.
So is this like changing your life, or is it kind of something you're like, all right, this is cool. Like, how do you see it in the future? Is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't know how I see it in the future. Right now, I'm not bored of it. I'm kind of talking about how I could maybe see myself getting bored of drawing houses one day because, you know, even though every house is different, they start to feel a little bit the same after a while. Yeah. Right now, I'm not bored with it, though. So I could see myself, you know, like I said, I could quit my day job right now and just go into this, and this could kind of be my business. It could be my work. But I don't know. I kind of want to give this a little bit more time to see, like, how can I get creative with this, even more creative with this? Right. You know, what other opportunities are there? How can I grow this? How, you know, do I still love it after a year? Mm-hmm. I think I will, because right now it's, like I said, it's kind of my only outlet for creativity. Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Well, so, yeah.
It doesn't sound like you're only growing in volume. It sounds like you're growing in the things you can draw. Like a boat is like the next step for you. It's a new challenge.
Yeah.
And with being able to draw the boat, you'll be able to draw other things, I'm sure. I'm sure there's going to be some kind of transfer there.
Yeah.
Draw a different thing, but, you know, you come to a problem and, you know, you've already figured it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe like...
So I'm kind of excited. When she asked me to do the boat, I was like,
Are you working on it right now, or you haven't started?
I haven't started yet. Okay. I told her if it's horrible, I'm just going to give it to her for free. And,
that's really nice of you.
Yeah, but just because it was like, somebody actually asked me to do, he's a teacher, and he wanted to buy a portrait of their high school to put in like the faculty lounge.
Uh-huh.
So I did it, and I didn't love it. Like, it looked I didn't even post it because I didn't love it.
Right,
but sure. I was just like, no, this is like my gift to you. This was fun for me. It was something new. It gave me like the opportunity to try something new. So like, this is my gift to you. Thanks for letting me do it.
Uh-huh.
Kind of thing. And he was like, no, like, it was your time. Like, I insist. I was like, honestly, like, this was good for me to try.
Right.
So yeah, getting to try some new stuff is kind of what makes it exciting and makes it different and switches it up for me. So yeah, I'm excited to where it goes. I just don't know what that looks like right now.
Are you still drawing from your creative side? Are you still drawing from, you know, just what comes out of your head?
Just as kind of like what I've always been doing, where I'm just like, I'm a doodler. I'm a constant doodler.
Yeah.
What's the latest doodle?
What's my latest doodle?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if I can. So when I travel, I'm not a good writer. Like, I don't think that I write well, or I feel like maybe sometimes just because I compare myself to, you know,
maybe you're more visually minded.
Exactly. You know, I follow travel bloggers and, you know, they'll write these beautiful long posts about their trip and it makes me want to go so badly. And I'm just like, I've tried that a few times. And I'm like, it just doesn't come to me the way that like visual art or drawing does. So on my trips now, like, what I'll do is I'll kind of do a like a doodle of that city that I was in, and I'll pull in different aspects of like what I saw, some of the food, some of like the experiences, some of the streets that I walked down, and kind of like put it all on one page, and it'll be like a doodle of my experience in that city.
That's really cool.
That's something that I've been doing too, and it's like, that's more for me. Like, that's just
right.
Somewhere else to dump that creativity. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, it's not really consumer facing, or it's not for everybody else. It's just more for some people remember their trips by like writing a 10-page paper about what they did. I'm just like, boom, here's what I remember. Here's what I saw. And yeah.
That says a lot about you. That seems to say that you kind of have this collage that you make in your head, right?
Mm.
You know, I'm kind of the same way. I like to look at the entirety of a journey. Like, yeah. I did a similar picture for my dad for Christmas in 2017. We went to Tokyo, and I had a picture that was just everything we did. Like, all the buildings that we went to and, like, all the things that we did just kind of in one picture.
Right.
And I kind of curved it so that it was presentable. It wasn't, like, you know, doodly where it's everywhere, like what we were talking about. Yeah. But it's I feel like artists have that mind where we see something interesting and then we think about how do we make that presentable?
Yeah.
Like, how do we make that presentable to the point where it looks so good?
Right.
You know, even if it's not the most picturesque thing ever, or it's hard to describe.
Yeah.
I think that that's really challenging in a drawing, to bring across an abstract concept. Cause you could be in Miami and you just had like this amazing time and it was very tropical to you. It was very like party aesthetic, and it's like, how do we bring that all across in one big thing?
It's funny because I work for Visit Philly. It's our job to make the city look good, advertise the city, get people to come visit. That's basically, you know, what we do. So I'm in my department is advertising and partnerships, and you know,
did
sometimes
you work on the website at all?
No, I did not. I wish I did. They do awesome
pretty
work.
Cool.
Yeah, they do a great job.
Everything slides from the left and the right.
Yep, Yeah. Yeah, they did a great job with that. Yeah. But with Visit Philly, you know, a lot of what we do is marketing for the city. It's billboards, it's magazine ads, it's TV commercials. Sometimes we'll be in a room and we're like, all right, here's the problem we have. We want to solve, our solution should be a billboard. We want a billboard to solve this problem. How do we tell the story about Philly? How do we make it, you know, it's walkable, it's lovable, it's great food, it's great, you know, all this stuff. And it's like, I have an idea in my mind. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that, like, it's maybe this isn't the final thing, but I immediately see, like, what... To try and, like, right off the bat, like, try and explain that to people, I am often at the, like, the creative brainstorming table quiet because I'm like, I don't know how to explain.
You don't want to sound dumb.
And I don't want to, like, how did you, like, if I do, like, explain, all right, this is what I'm envisioning. It's this and this and this and this and this is, and I just feel like people are going to be like, what? Exactly. How did you get there?
I get you,
like,
100%.
What? And I'm like, I'll eventually start to spill, like, oh, I think it'd be cool if actually we do that. Like, some of these small, like, ideas, but I'm kind of slow to just be like, here's everything that I envision right now.
Do you consider yourself more introverted or extroverted?
I consider myself more introverted.
Well, that would make a lot of sense because if you're in a focus group and you're forced to speak into a lot of people, you know, that's hard.
It's funny. So my job at Visit Philly, I manage partnerships. So it's like our relationships with all the museums, the attractions, the sports teams, the universities. Like, I'm constantly having to talk to people and be around people and throw ideas off people and hear their ideas and hear their complaints and everything. Like, it's nonstop. So, like, at the end of my day, like, I'm exhausted. Like, I think it's because I'm an introvert. I'm just like, oh my gosh, I just need, like, enough, you know?
Draw.
Yeah, yeah, draw. I need it. And that's where these paintings, like, really, really kick in and help me with, like, winding down. And I hardly ever look at my phone when I'm drawing. Like, I don't even care.
Same.
You know, I can, I'm somebody who's probably could say they're kind of attached to their phone. But, like, when I'm in it, like, it's just total unwinding time.
So I don't, I mean,
it's tough, man. You have a business to curate.
Yeah.
Mean, that, now you have to be on your phone. You
exactly.
Know?
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you about to say, man?
I was saying, like, I don't know if you, like, know what you're going in to talk about before the meeting. I assume you do.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about, or have you ever just brought in, like, a schematic and, like, you know, maybe that would solve some of the problems you have with, like, getting your point across, because that's how you get your point across.
Yeah. I've done that. It's interesting because, so, like, we have a whole team of designers. We have an illustrator, we have an animator, we have graphic designers, we have, you know,
you're this, in marketing. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. So we need all these people for our commercials, for our video ads, you know, all this stuff. Like, we need these people to make those things come to life. And the few times where I'm like, I have this idea, but, like, that's not my place here. Like, my place is, like, make these connections and make these deals and, like, make sure our relationship with the museums are good. But I'm like, sometimes I'll, like, interject, and it's not that it's not welcome. People are like, oh yeah, cool idea.
Yeah.
But sometimes I'm just like, if I, like, show that I'm putting all, you know, it's just,
it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable because that's not your position, and I mean, I feel like when you give suggestions for things that are not your position, some people take that the wrong way. Some people think you're imposing on whatever their position is.
Yeah. I think it's been taken that way before.
I'm sure it has, because some people are just like that. But, I mean, you shouldn't stray from contributing something beneficial to the company just because you're afraid of these one or two person, like, what am I saying? One or two people.
Yeah, you know, I agree. It's something that I recently did it where we were trying to come up with a new logo for our company. And not even like our corporate logo, but we have like a branding logo. You guys may have seen it. It's like With Love Philadelphia XOXO.
Yeah, the classic.
And yeah, and it is, and it's beloved, and people know it and recognize it. But it's just funny
this
how
way, yeah, that's pretty sweet.
Were you a part of this?
I wasn't a part of that. That's pretty old actually.
Yeah,
before
that
I started.
Forever.
But they just kind of wanted to like think about how they could kind of revamp that, and I had some ideas, and I gave it to our director of creative. And I was like, hey, here are some ideas. I know I'm the partnership guy, but I think that this would work really well. And he was like, oh, cool. And they did. They incorporated some of the stuff that I did into
it.
That
felt good.
Yeah, it did. It did.
Did you ever think about switching positions?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, man. I kind of hear where you're coming from because I work in a creative industry too. But I'm, like you said, I'm not. You work with animators and people like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I work with producers and writers and stuff like that. So we have a lot of these meetings about shows, and it's the same exact way. If it's not my baby, quote unquote, so to speak, I feel uncomfortable about interjecting and trying to make these creative decisions when somebody has a very strong vision for it.
Right.
If there's a problem and people are asking, like, oh, what's the solution to this?
Yeah.
Then, you know, I'm definitely more into that. But I understand what it is to be in a creative industry in a room full of people just rapidly spitfiring, like spitballing ideas, and you're just quiet because you're like, there's too many cooks in the kitchen yeah. right now. Like, yeah. if you really do want to solve this problem the way I do it, because I'm also introverted.
Right.
Is you come sit down with everybody individually yeah. and you see what everyone's individual input is. And right. then you kind of stack them against. But when you're in a room and people are like spitballing, like, it should look like this, it should look like that, it should look, and it's just,
yeah.
Because with TV, that's what it is with TV, man. It's just like, yo, like, we had a problem with this show, and I'm going to be very vague, obviously, mm-hmm. where we have two anchors that are doing this morning show, right. and one is shorter than the other. And the director wants them both to be the same size. So it's like, what do we do? Do we put a cushion under her chair? Mm-hmm. Do we give her different shoes to wear? And right. it's like, you know, that kind of stuff is, you feel weird interjecting because you're like, well, I don't want to make this anchor uncomfortable. Yeah. I don't want to have them sit on a cushion if that's embarrassing for them.
Yeah.
But there's people just talking, just like, well, you should make her do this. Make her wear a different outfit, blah, blah, blah. And you're just like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I have my opinion on it, but
yeah.
And that's really how creative goes. So until you're higher up, and that's why I'm not going to speak for you, but when you said, no, I don't feel like I should switch positions.
Yeah.
I understand why you said that. Because you don't want to be one of those people. Or am I wrong?
No, you're right. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not in a creative field, so. I mean, different kind of creative, I guess. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. you know, I'm definitely interested to hear about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's cool. And it's interesting. It's nice that I feel like I can think back to meetings where, like, it'll be kind of, like, around the room. Like, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think?
Yeah.
I really make sure that, like, when it comes to me or if somebody asks me a pointed question, like, what's your opinion on this? Like, the words that come out of my mouth are really, like, I put a lot of thought into them because it's, like, I want to, like, I finally do have the opportunity where it's, like, these people are kind of forced to listen to me now because the spotlight's been turned to me.
Are you the young guy at your company or you have
peers? There are people that are younger than me, but I'd probably say I'm like kind of right in the middle. Yeah, you know, okay. I'm almost 6 years out of college now. Mm-hmm. So it's like we have some people that are entry level that are just out of college. Mm-hmm. I have interns around the table sometime. Yeah. And then we have, you know, our vice presidents who are in, you know, 10, 20 years into their career.
How long have you been with them?
A little over 3 years.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah, so you have some say.
That's yeah, cool. yeah, which is nice. So I'm just more methodical about my response when people actually ask for it.
Yeah, I mean, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Do they know about the painting?
Yeah, they do. There's actually, when you first work at Visibility, you sign something like that, whatever, like any other side business like won't interfere. It's not saying that you can't have a side business, but they're not even really strict with it. So like I was kind of cautious at first, like to tell people I was doing this, but my HR director, like he ordered a house for me. Like he's the guy that's supposed to be cool. enforcing, you know, like that's make dope. Sure that like whatever side business is not interfering.
That's great because HR is hit or miss.
Yeah.
Literally be your best or worst enemy.
Yeah.
Is that because, and I don't want to take your thought away, is that because they don't want you to use the resources from your position for another side business?
I think that's what it is. And especially like I have people, you know, you can imagine with my job, if I'm supposed to be making all these connections, I have a lot of contacts.
Oh, yeah.
I have contacts at, mm-hmm. you know, the Philadelphia Eagles. I have contacts at, you know, Comcast. I have, you know, these connections. And people ask, like, on a personal level for these contacts sometimes. And it's a little bit awkward sometimes. I'm just like, I can't, man.
Yeah,
like,
why would they even ask you that?
People want, like, you know, they want a job there. They want to get on the field. They have an idea about an art project that they want hanging on the side of the link. Like, mm-hmm. you know, there's all these crazy, I've gotten all these crazy ideas. And usually I have to just be like.
I just never get that, I guess, because shouldn't they know that that's a professional relationship? And like, you can't just, you know, you can't just walk in like you fucking own the place.
Right.
And be like, yo, give me tickets. Yo, let this person in here. Yo, give him clearance to meet Carson Wentz.
I feel like. For me, I sympathize with the hunger.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. You're ambitious.
Yeah, yeah.
But I have to be cordial with this person that,
right.
you know, I have a business relationship with. I can't just advertise to them all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and I mean, that's, I think that's why, though, like, if a company's saying, like, we don't want your external whatever to interfere with, it's, you know, there's a lot of proprietary stuff that we do at Visit Philly. So, like, stuff that we're just not allowed to talk about. So,
of course, you know,
letting some of those ideas or some of that technology or some of that, like whatever it is, overflow to like kind of help you somewhere else is just, I think you have to be cautious about it. But this is, they're pretty separate. Like
that's pretty cool.
My house is in, Visit Philly. So
yeah, but they don't ever call on you like, bro, we should do advertisement with like a painted house. Like, do they do stuff like that to you? Like
no, it's I haven't gotten there yet. So
yeah. All right, good.
Yeah.
A little bit, cause we only have half an hour until this whole Eagles thing goes down.
Yep.
In addition to you being an excellent artist, every time I look at your Instagram, dude, you're traveling. You're going places, man. And I feel like it's the new year. It's 2019. A lot of people's resolutions is to travel more. Like, I hear that a lot from people I'm talking to. Like, we got to travel more. What's your whole philosophy on that? And do you try and take a trip once a year? Like, what's the deal there?
Yeah. So I try to do two trips a year. I try to do an international one, two international ones if I can. I've done that a few times over the past like 5 or 6 years. But if not, just somewhere domestic in the U.S. that I haven't been. When I majored in international business, the summer between my junior and senior year in college, we did this program. It was 15 countries in one summer. Wow. So it's like the coursework is like happening along the way. Your professors travel with you. Every city you're in, it's like, you know, you have a class, you have an exam, you have. Yeah, it was incredible. It was a crazy whirlwind of an experience. Would I do it again? Probably, but the tough thing was like I was jealous of my friends that studied abroad in Rome or Spain, and they were there for 3 months and they got to know the people and the culture and the food and all that stuff. I like one morning we did breakfast in Paris, lunch in Brussels, and then dinner in Amsterdam.
That sounds exhausting.
It was an exhausting trip.
Did you learn anything from traveling that quickly?
There's a lot to learn. I was really conscious of like I want to remember what I learned on this trip, because I know like not everybody can travel to 15 countries in one summer. I don't think I'll ever do that again. Even if I wanted to, like that's just such a logistical challenge, and you know, so it was like this is an opportunity that I was aware of that like I don't think I'm going to get this again. So like how can I retain what I'm about to learn, what I'm about to experience? So yeah, like the actual coursework was difficult. But that was almost more constant than like just trying to like soak up the culture. Like the coursework is like every day, like you know what to expect, you know what the next chapter of that course is, you know what your professor's going to like give you the exam on, like you knew all that stuff that was expected. And I remember, like, I feel like I was able to retain that easily because it was so constant. But like, you know, what I ate in India and what I ate in China and like what, like that stuff felt so fleeting because it was like it was changing so quickly that that was the stuff that I felt like I couldn't hang on to long enough when this course.
Are you multilingual?
I am, yes.
So what do you speak?
I speak English, Italian, Spanish, and Portuguese.
That's awesome. Did you get to use any of them while you were abroad?
So I used Italian for like one. We did a couple days in Italy. Just we had some downtime. Italy wasn't like scheduled on the trip, so a buddy and I, we just when we were in Austria, we went across the border to Italy. I'm trying to think. I found that if people didn't speak English, they spoke Spanish. So I was able to use that. Portuguese, I didn't really use at all. Not that I remember, at least. But yeah, so I think that's, though, just to get back to travel, is like I got the travel bug from that trip. That was an incredible experience. But it helped me realize, like, this world is so big. It's There's crazy. So much to see. People that are just like, I'm cool with the U.S. Like, I'm not a big traveler. Like, my parents wouldn't deny that. They were like,
it's like
I'm
watching,
good.
Yeah, it's yeah, like watching black and white TV, man.
Exactly.
It's like watching black and white TV.
It's so true. Yeah,
while
it's
you like have you IMAX 3D.
Right. Mm-hmm. You just like don't know until you do it, until you see it, until you taste it, until like whatever that is. My philosophy is like there was a lot on this earth for us to experience, and like for us to be in this little speck in Philadelphia and stay here forever, or even like the Northeast or even the US, like there are so much more that we have to experience while we're here on this earth that it's like let's take advantage of it.
And we all know people like that, like close friends that just they haven't, and you know, sometimes it's because they don't have the finances to do it, and that's understandable, right. And they're working to do that, which
Absolutely.
Is admirable. But man, when you have the opportunity to go, you gotta take it. And I think not to cut you off, but the mm-hmm. quintessential traveling experience, which what you mentioned, is you go into the city, you find a spot, like you find a restaurant that's like, it's low key, you know what I'm saying? But it's very, very authentic. You meet somebody there, mm-hmm. you become a regular there for a little bit. That's the experience that everyone's chasing, where like for a moment in their life, maybe it's for, like you said, 3 months, they become part of that place. They adapt and they see themselves in, wow, man, like this could have been my life. Like I could have lived here. Like I could have grew up here.
Yeah.
This could have been like my like person. And that's a very trippy experience,
it
man.
Is.
Like if people are into psychedelics or drugs, that's trippier than anything you could probably
it's
ever
true.
Take.
It's true.
If by some roll of the dice, if I ended up here, this could be my life.
Yeah.
And then you go back to your
life.
What
are the chances that, you know, all the places I could have ended up, like we ended up here. Mm-hmm. It's like my life very easily could have been, you know, I'm living in Delhi, India, where I was, or, you know, I'm in Tokyo, or like wherever that is, just as easily as I ended up being from Philly, like I could have been from anywhere else. Mm-hmm. So to kind of experience the life of somebody that lives there is, I think that's kind of like where the draw is. Like that's why people want those experiences where they're getting to like, you know, really taste the culture, see like the underground bar that like you wouldn't have gone to if, you know, that kind of stuff.
Totally.
I think that's why people like you're really just looking into a window of like somebody else's life that you know nothing about, and it's just like, wow, life is so different from.
Yeah, it's like life doesn't have to be the life you have right now. I think is what strikes me about foreign cultures.
Yeah,
you know, like you mean you could be having a shitty life, and you think that's all there is.
Right.
But you go to one culture, you go to one new city, one new country, and you just realize like how differently people live their lives.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
Do you repeat visit yet, or do you try and go somewhere new every time?
So it's funny. The question I get most about my travel is, you're going to Italy again. Like Italy for me is
that's are you Italian? Like,
that's a whole
Italian.
Yeah,
okay.
Italian. So there's a little yeah. connection there.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole nother beast.
Yeah.
I've been there twice so far.
Yeah. Italy for me, and you know, I probably am biased and I speak the language and you know, I adore Italian food and you know, all these, but for me Italy is like the combination of like the lifestyle, the nature, like the landscape of Italy, how diverse it is, but it's also beautiful. Their lifestyle, though, is just so, and I know it's replicated elsewhere in the world, but for me, like, that feels like the most comfortable international destination for me, where it's just like, this is...
Likewise. Well, how do they live that's so appealing to you?
So, it's, like, I feel like the Italian way of life is the way that life should be, like, while we're here on Earth. Like, I feel like we should all, like, learn something from the Italians, where it's like, the food that they're eating is... It's always from somewhere that is like farm to table. The phrase farm to table would never exist in Italy, because if it wasn't farm to table, they'd be like, what are you eating?
Oh,
you're
so normal.
Yeah. What are you eating? Everything is so fresh. Everything is so laid back. You will never, if you're out with friends, you will never hear people talking about work. Somebody brings up work, it's like, what, like, why are you talking about this right now? Like, like, this is like a social environment.
So true.
Work has no like connection to people's actual
day. You go out in the US, and that's one of the first questions you always ask.
Right.
I know that's a question I ask all the time.
Right. Yeah. And like, maybe they'll ask, like, what do you do? But it's more of like a formality. Like, I feel like this is the next question I should ask. And then it's like done. Like, I don't care like what you do at that job. I don't like, you know, unless you're like saving people, like people aren't interested, like, you know, and it just ways of life. Like, they have passeggiata, which is like before dinner. Yeah. It's not even food. it means to go for a walk, but it does sound delicious.
I thought food.
Yeah. That's what I'm no. So it's like you either like you'll go out for like a pre-dinner drink and you're just like you have a drink and some like potato chips or peanuts for like an hour or 2 hours. And then you go for a passeggiata and it's just like a 2 hour walk.
It's
and
so
then you
relaxing.
Go to dinner and like the whole, just everything is just so.
When I was in South Africa in like August.
Yeah.
Right. I was there for 2 weeks. And I mean, we had this thing called a braai. Like, you know what that is?
No.
A braai is basically like a barbecue. But it's like South African style, where they get just like a huge open fire and they, you know, cook all the meats right on there. And I forget. I don't even remember. There was like some kind of meat that I didn't even know this animal existed, but it was like a common thing in South Africa, and like, I ate it every night. And dude, it was banging. Like,
it's just delicious.
It started with a K, whatever it was.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then I saw one in the safari, and I was like, yeah, I ate you. come over here. That's come in my safari. My safari jeep.
Yeah. Jeez, man, that's sketchy. But I would love to come to South Africa. That sounds great.
Yeah.
But Italy, man. You're right, and the thing that gets me about Italy every time I go is the people. Like, they're so kind, and the whole they don't talk about work thing is so true, because here the culture is very much centered around productivity and what's next and consume.
Right.
There it's a lot slower.
Yeah.
And your brain just kind of adjusts to that, and you feel calmer. That whole walking thing is so metaphorical for how they live their life, where it's really stop and smell the roses.
Yeah.
The first time I ever went to Venice, I was 19. And I couldn't believe it, man. It felt like a dream to me.
Yeah.
You know, it's, and a lot of the stuff they say about it is true. You know, it's obviously sinking. It's a little unstable sometimes. Like there's the smell from the water. But when you're walking around, like in Venice, to me, there's no crazier feeling.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, wow, man.
Yeah. Somebody mentioned to me once, they were like, Venice is like a movie set. And I was
it
like,
is.
You take that back, though. I was like, Venice is so much better than a movie set. Like, it is as if like the most incredible movie set came to life and you were just fully surrounded by it. Like, it is something that is,
it's remarkable.
Unmatched.
Yeah.
How's the humidity and the weather and all that stuff?
Dude,
is it always sunny?
It's hot. Sometimes it gets hot, man.
Yeah.
When I was in Rome,
is it a dry heat or is it?
I would say it's drier than some places.
Yeah,
here.
Ben. It got so hot in Rome one time when I went. I saw a cat literally die of heat exhaustion because there's when you go to Rome, there's a lot of like stray cats, bro.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this one just like pass out and die. Like, I saw it out my window, just boom, fall.
How'd that
over.
Affect you?
I was just like, wow, it's hot out here. Like, you know what I'm saying, man? Like,
then you walked and took your walk.
Yeah, I mean, I was fourth grade the first time I went to Rome. Yeah, okay. So, but it gets hot, man. Yeah. I do remember. And it depends on where you are in Italy, too. It snows there sometimes.
Yeah. You were saying, though, about how, like, one of the barriers to travel is sometimes, like, you know, I can't afford it right now. Mm-hmm. And I got asked that by a friend recently. They were like how do you do it? Like, mm-hmm. how do you, and this is just like deal alert. Have you ever heard of Scotch Cheap Flights?
No.
All right. So this is how I make this.
Let me just pull out my notes.
Let me just
get my notes out.
Yeah. No, so this is
Scotch
Cheap Flights.
Scots or Scotch?
Scots. Like a guy named Scott.
Okay. Scott's telling me what the
cheap flights are. So there's this guy. And he searches for like extremely cheap or mistake.
He's
my hero. Work. Yeah. So he's got this team now, and it's
wearing an S on his chest for Scott.
He should, and a cape. This guy really is like has changed lives.
That's cool.
Where like so my last trip to Italy, I think round trip Philly to Rome, Rome to Philly was like $320.
The first time
I went through this, I was like, this is a scam. I'm gonna get on some crazy janky airplane.
I'm gonna get abducted. And,
sex trafficking. Right, exactly. That's what I thought. But really, like, he just finds me, like, you don't have to pay for anything. Like, you're just subscribed to his emails, and he'll send these emails out, like, a couple times a week, tells you these crazy, crazy deals. I just saw some to South Africa for, like, $450 round
trip. Dude,
that's
a steal. I paid, like, $1,200
for
mine.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And
and it was, like, a fucking middle seat. I paid $1,200 for a middle seat, and no one missed the flight. It was fucking packed, man. Seriously, I've never slept so uncomfortably in my life.
There's always
one crying child on the plane.
Yeah.
You know? It has to be there.
It sounded like it left quite an effect on you.
Anyway,
yeah. What's it called again?
Scotch Cheap Flights.
Okay,
and that's the thing. You don't book it through his website. Like it's not. It's he just tells
that.
You no.
It's a heads up thing.
He tells you like it's through American Airlines, and you go to American Airlines, you search those dates, and like there's a $300 ticket to Rome, like staring at you.
How'd you find Scott?
Somebody told me about it. Yeah. But now you all know.
Yeah, now I know Scott.
Yeah.
Now I'm gonna get very well acquainted with Scott.
No, you should.
I guess your point.
And that's how you do it.
Yeah, your point is like if you want to travel, you should make it happen, man.
Right.
Because I feel like everyone's waiting for the opportune moment. Like, after this project and I have this coming up and I really shouldn't leave. And it's just like, dude, go on the internet, search, look, like find it. And you really should make it a priority.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of a have to thing. For me, it's like exercising. You should exercise. You should also travel, man.
Yeah.
You really should.
Yeah.
You should try to make.
Can we go back to those collages you make while traveling? Like, what's your favorite one that you made? Was it Italy?
Exactly.
Sounds like it was Italy.
Do you have a collection of those?
Like, I probably have like four of them that
I've done.
I
keep looking at your Instagram and I keep refreshing and it's not there.
Yeah.
That might be too intimate to show. I mean, you know.
No. I'll pull one. So I went to, this is one of my domestic trips. I went to Acadia National Park.
Acadia.
It's in Maine.
Okay.
And it's just like coastal.
Is it kind of like Rocky Mountains?
Kind of like that, but it's like it's a lot of like coastline and there's like a lot of hikes and like a lot of beautiful rocky beaches and all this stuff. So
what's the animal life like?
It was a lot of just like because you're by the this is what I did for Acadia. So it's a lot of like because it's by the ocean, like there's just like a lot of like.
Okay, so he's got print up top Acadia National Park. If I'm pronouncing that right, it almost looks like a treasure map. That's what I see.
How
I mean, he's from Philadelphia. He's got the dotted lines or the dash marks going all the way to an X. It's on a mountain, so you know there's some kind of treasure there.
Yeah.
Cadillac Mountain. There's some lobsters fighting down here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It kind of is eclectic. The way that you just described it, whoever's
it's
listening,
cool, and
it's like
cartoony. It's cartoony that you talk about.
Yeah, but it's like it's
you can shoot me that. I'll edit into the video.
Yeah.
Dude, you should definitely post this too.
Yeah.
I mean, this is exciting.
Yeah.
Now I'm gonna go treasure hunting.
Okay, dude, go find that treasure.
Yeah, right next to the beehive.
Yeah, that's right, dude.
Yeah. No one knows what I'm talking about.
I saw some lettering on there. You do the lettering too, right?
Yeah, yeah. I've done like so many odd jobs because of like these just random creative things that I can do. Like, did you ever go to a wedding and like to find your seat? Like, you'll see like people. Like
waving
right on,
you, like
no, yeah, that or like,
over here.
So, like I wrote on a mirror one time, like 200 names of like where people like in like this cool script of like, you know, this girl had this envision where she had this giant mirror, like beautiful framed mirror. She was like, I want everyone's name like script written on here.
That's
with her table
sick.
Number next to, and it was just like, she was like, can you make it happen? I was like, I'll try it, and I did that. So like, yeah, there's always like Wow. Those sketches like that I do for my trips are just like kind of random, but it's like,
are they all kind of like the one that you just showed
us?
Yeah,
yeah, they kind of look like that.
Okay, that's
different, cool. Like landmarks and food items just like splattered on a page. And
that, is that all in one book or they're like few and far between?
They're all in a book, yeah.
Oh, so that's super satisfying. You get to sit back and,
yeah, and flip through them. Yeah.
You have your own
I'm
book.
I'm trying to live my life like you, bro.
Do not that's, do that's that. What this do is not all do about. That.
That's why you're here right now.
Dude, start your travel book. Do it. Yeah, dude. I want to see what you did for Tokyo. That would be.
Yeah, it's upstairs. I'll show you. But that's such a cool thing, man. Yeah. And I don't know. I feel like definitely to chronicle, whatever the word is, to just keep a.
Chronologically?
To
keep a chronological log.
The act of keeping some sort of continuity with where you're going or just what you're thinking. Because I'm sure you look at those illustrations and you're like, dang, I was like 2021. Like, I was thinking about, like, you were thinking about what was happening in your life at that time, but then you were also reflecting on the trip. Like, it's very cool to have stuff like that to look back on. And of course, you can take pictures. I mean, that's the simple thing, right? When you're actually drawing it out, though, like, you just feel the energy behind what you drew.
Yeah. And you kind of get to relive each spot. Like, if you're spending 10 minutes drawing, like, this mountain you climbed, it's like the whole time you're drawing that mountain, you're thinking about the mountain and like, oh, that time I almost fell off that rock. And like, you know, the whole time that you're there, it's like you're reliving it as you draw it. So
that's
cool. Mountain climb is hard too. You get fucking exhausted doing that.
Yeah,
that's a big thing though. And there's mountain climbing gyms in Philly now. There's a lot of spots where you can go.
Yeah. Just closed, in a building.
Yeah, just like facilities where you can kind of like there was a temple where there's one that you could scale up. Yeah.
You ever use that?
Stuff like that's become popular. No, I'm not. I feel like you're a really outdoorsy guy.
You're wrong.
No?
No, I'm not.
Really?
Yeah, I'm really not.
The way you are as a traveler.
I know, but I would actually much rather go to like a big city than I would.
That's fair.
Like a mountain. That one was like a family trip, like a family vacation. My brother graduated college, and we decided we were going to go as a family to that national park. But, you know, I've been to some beautiful outdoor destinations, national parks and things like that, and I love them. Like, there's no denying it, but I would much rather take in the excitement of, like, a bustling city.
Me too, man.
And, like, try all these crazy food vendors and, like, all that kind of stuff you know, like, it is peaceful to, like, lay on top of a mountain and just, like, chill for a bit.
Yeah.
But I kind of get energized by.
Have you ever thought of moving out of Philly and into a new city for a while?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Yeah, I have.
Are you planning on it? You're looking right in my eyes, man. Oh, I was like, how did he know?
Yeah. Did I tell you about Chad's apartment?
Yeah, so all my coworkers that are listening, potentially, it's like, sorry, but probably in a few years. So the goal is
XOXO,
to,
I'm out.
Yeah, to get my my Italian citizenship, and then live somewhere and
live in a vineyard.
Can you get dual citizenship?
Yeah, I can.
Oh, sick, bro!
Oh, Italy allows that.
Italy allows that.
Okay,
yeah,
that's super sick.
Yeah, you have to have the right blood connection,
bro.
Right,
what's that gonna do for the biz, though?
I don't
just
know.
Gotta start making Italian.
I don't know. Yeah,
that's
I'll just start doing. Yeah,
perfect.
I don't know what that looks like.
Yeah, you will though.
Yeah, I will. I'm going to make that happen. I don't know when. Yeah, but hopefully.
How do you say one life in Italian?
Una vita.
Bro, there we go.
What part are you considering moving to?
If I want like a job, I probably have to go to Milan. That's where all the jobs are.
Milan sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a cool city. It's the most modern out of everywhere.
You've been there.
I've been there. Probably Rome is where I would want to be. Maybe Florence. Florence is a little bit small, but
would you go to Mass if you went to Rome?
I don't know if I'd go to Mass.
Okay.
I mean, I would maybe go to like.
I'm
not Catholic though, through like a Catholic Mass in Rome. I guess it would be cool to be like, oh, like,
he's a fraud. he doesn't actually believe
with the Pope.
he signals you out. Yeah. Like, what are you doing here?
Yeah. So I don't know what that would look like my church life there, but
right.
Definitely a place where you have, you know, access to an occupation to just ground you for a little bit.
But
yeah, why not, man?
But maybe not. Like I was talking earlier about these paintings. Like if I can figure out a way. My shipping costs would go up, but if I could do it from Italy and
that might be the sell.
Maybe.
Yo, these are from Italy, bro.
Oh my
Italian painter.
You really could raise, but actually, you could raise your price doing that.
That might be the
and,
sell, dude.
I mean, you might not even have to because you could sell it domestically, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no reason why Italians don't like art, right? They might like it even more.
Yeah, you're right.
So. You would know more than me.
Yeah. Well, it's actually funny. My one Italian friend who like saw this thing, this business that I was doing, like he was like, "What kind of egotistical maniac wants a picture? Like, look how beautiful my house is. like you walk through the front door, you know what it looks like. You don't need it on your wall.
Has he been to this?
You're like, I got a whole list of people right here.
Has he been here?
No, he's never been. Okay, here. Yeah. I was like, you will learn. Like,
dude, it's funny. My cousins, they're from Rome. They visited me probably like 2 or 3 years ago. Yeah. It was my cousin and his wife specifically. Mm-hmm. We took them to Philadelphia, and we took them to Rittenhouse Square.
Yep.
And she started chasing around squirrels, and I was like, "What is going on?
Isn't that crazy?"
And I can understand a little bit of Italian. I'm really bad at speaking it.
Right.
And my dad was talking to them, and he was explaining to me like, "We don't, you know, in Italy, those are non-existent."
Yeah.
And what's crazy is that we took them to Five and Below, mm-hmm. bro.
Really?
Cleaned it out because you know how expensive stuff is in Italy. Yeah.
Wow.
So it's I think it's, you know, if your friend came here and saw just the consumer mentality of the States, like, he would probably understand.
Probably.
I have an Ecuadorian friend who is, like, Ecuadorian great-grandma, like, her brother, her son, like, they came over here. They come every few years, and, you know, they see his family. And he said the same thing. He's like, the squirrels, man, like, they were just entranced by the squirrels. They couldn't look away. And I'm just like, that must be, like, when I was in South Africa, what a cheetah is, or what a hyena is, or what an elephant is to me, is what a squirrel is to them. Yeah, and that just blows my mind.
Yeah, that's crazy.
In Italy, you'd see a lot of lizards, man.
That sounds cool. That sounds like up your alley.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Rocky will have a friend.
Yeah, exactly. I have a chameleon named Rocky.
Really?
But they're super sick.
He's been in a few fights, you know. His record's like 5-1, no big deal. Two knockouts.
Rocky, or like you guys together fighting, or?
No. I don't know. Who's Rocky fought?
You're talking about my pet or
your pet, obviously. What other Rocky you thinking
really fast. Oh, no. Chameleons don't fight, man. They're like the old grandpas of lizards, man. They just kind of
really?
Chill.
Really? Yeah. I can see that.
I guess in Madagascar, they get kind of territorial with each other. But, nah, man, I am big into reptiles. So, obviously, when I went to Italy for the first time and saw lizards everywhere, I was very young. I was fourth grade. First time I went, and I was like, wow, this is cool.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of cats. There's tons of stuff to see.
Yeah.
We're getting pretty close to 4 o'clock, and it's the Eagles, so we're going to make this one a short episode.
Yep.
Dude, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you guys for having me.
I appreciate it.
Do you want to give like a quick shout-out, you know, what you're all about, your tag, everything?
Yeah, cool. So, my photography and my travels and stuff are on my personal Instagram, so that's at Jordan Parenti. If you want to check out some of the house paintings or landmark paintings that I'm doing, that's at Home by Jordan. And if you want to order one, it's my name, JordanParenti.com.
Cool. Check his stuff out. Thanks, it's really, guys. Really excellent. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
Yeah, go Eagles.
Go Eagles.
Summer's almost here, and Old Navy's got thousands of summer's hottest styles on sale now in stores from just $5. Get all your favorites, like tees and tanks for just $5, shorts for just $10, and jeans and dresses and swimwear for just $15. Can't wait to wear it? Buy online and pick up in-store for free today. New summer styles are just $5, $10, and $15 in stores now at Old Navy. Valid 5/13 to 5/19 in stores and select styles only. Summer's almost here, and Old Navy's got thousands of summer's hottest styles on sale now in stores from just $5. Get all your favorites, like tees and tanks for just $5, shorts for just $10, and jeans and dresses and swimwear for just $15. Can't wait to wear it? Buy online and pick up in-store for free today. New summer styles are just $5, $10, and $15 in stores now at Old Navy. Valid 5/13 to 5/19 in stores and select styles only.